there was no
something called it.
What we'll do is, this is just going to be for him, and we'll take that mic off for you. And then this is for the video, so this has to kind of be close to both of you.
Mm-hmm.
And then, if you don't want to be talking to his, you can just use that one.
Mm-hmm. Sarah Jane, it's morning.
What? This is my glass. That's my glass.
Might have something even better than what you're drinking now.
Yeah. So, various bacteria that has been named by other people. Take the free ham radio exams. Free ham radio exams Sunday at 10 a.m. till 1 p.m. in the Zurich room on the 6th floor. Sunday. I didn't say Saturday. You
Sunday,
Saturday.
Sunday.
Truckzilla, 6th floor. Yeah.
So this is the reprimand panel, the little e-zine that could, at times could not, but first, all right, no, not that I can see anything with these lights on, my God. A quick show of hands outside of the usual suspects, you know who you are. How many people have actually seen reprimand? You can take it if you want, it's cool. We know that you, sir. Alright, so did you have? Alright, is there anyone from overseas? No, Sergio, we know you're from another plane. The Venusian. Alright. No one from overseas, huh? They're around somewhere.
Overseas?
Yeah, possibly. The idea for reprimand came about years ago because I felt that we needed a forum. There were a lot of cultural items that I don't think were really being picked on enough, to put it simply. So I had an idea, I approached Leo with it, and I said, look, I said, why don't we have an evening and we'll combine regular social commentary, something that wasn't really being done much. Now, mind you, this is 6 years ago. You had the political stances people were taking, but I had to go after the American people directly. Let's face it, the American people are an animal. They need to stick in their cage. So I approached Leo and he said, okay, cool. And we would go and put the hacker world, what we knew, along with some of their experiences that we've had. And there were some experiences. One of the ones, is anyone here from Jersey? All right, we're in Jersey. Oh, I'm sorry.
Where are you?
See, I'm from Morris County. You're familiar with New Jersey? Leo and I had a decision one day to go invade Demon Valley.
Also known as New City Road.
Yes, out in West Milford, off of Route 23. It's not there anymore. The whole neighborhood's been torn down. But the story was that, this is really far-fetched, I think. Something bad happened. Bad, whatever the hell it was supposed to be. And the people literally just left with the shirts on their backs. So we said, I've got to see this. And we went up. And the whole neighborhood, no kidding, it was houses. But if you went inside, it looked like someone had taken a snapshot of the place. Furniture, clothing, mail was left behind. Man, this is some weird shit. Man, we got to get a picture of this.
Toys were left in the backyard.
Lawnmowers. You know, these people literally just up and split with everything behind. So we were sneaking around these yards, and this is perfect. On the side yard, there was a window that was open. Just as I climbed up to it, a guy in a truck from the Newark watershed pulled up. Oh, he wasn't happy. So he got out, and he was so angry with us. He wouldn't even refer to Weird New Jersey as Weird New Jersey. He called it, quote, "That Damn Magazine," end quote. Now, at first, I didn't know who this guy. I thought he was just some little rent-a-cop. And so I saw the Beretta on his side. He had a Beretta 92. And every so often, we see the hand go down. So we got the point. We left. About 2 or 3 months later, we were investigating Clinton Road. That's farther up on Route 23. Runs from West Milford out to Hewitt, New York. We were up by the watershed up there. And guess who caught us again? Literally out in the middle of the street, the guy pulled up, his hand on the gun again, and he, "Hey, didn't I catch you guys before?" And I tried to get my way, but he said no, and he put his hand on the gun again. We had to leave with threats of fines, tickets, and possibly being arrested. So by then we had gotten the bug for going out urban exploring.
Oh, one other thing that Human Valley is, a lot of the windows were boarded up, but they were painted with a, actually they had a black curtain with a drawstring on them.
Oh, yeah.
And these were like 80 or 90% of the windows were painted this way. And so like none of us can figure out what happened in that area, because it got bought out by the water reservoir. What was that?
Newark Watershed.
And so they closed down the area, but yet nothing was, like, everything was untouched. So it does look like somebody just got up and left, but we couldn't find any logical explanation for why so many people would leave and then the houses would be boarded up. And not just boarded up, but have those things painted on the windows. Like, that's too much of an effort for something so simple. If it was an accident that happened, maybe some gas cloud, people would have come back eventually. So it seems like it was like a literally, like, leave now and never come back type of thing, but logically, nothing makes sense in that situation.
Yeah, and we also had this wonderful gentleman tell us that the people were bought out by the state, and that's why they moved. But if you're in a situation like that, by law, you're given 30 days. Why would you leave all your stuff behind? So, you know, something really stunk with the area. We tried doing more research into what we could find about it. And the story, and if you're from Jersey, you'll know this one, a cult moved into the area.
Satanic
cult. It's just like, you know, they always say it's a clan. It's not one guy, it's all of them. It's the clan out in the woods. You know, drunk teenagers by the railroad tracks, and, you know. So we went back up there again, going through it, and on our second trip through, we noticed they knocked some of the houses down. Every so often, one house would mysteriously burn. You know, it was just all this weird stuff. We could never figure out what happened. But there's something I've got up on Reprimand that went up today. Thank you, Sergi. I wouldn't really say a far-fetched theory, but I think it bears looking into further. There was talk, you know, I don't know if any of you heard about the Montauk Project, or about the time travel experiments and all that. I had someone who, he was out in Brooklyn, who claimed that he had relatives who worked on it. And he said it was moved out to Jersey. The only place out there that could really hold it is Picatinny Arsenal. And Picatinny Arsenal, strangely, is just south of Demon Valley. So we were starting to think that maybe it's just some cover story for whatever, you know, kind of shenanigans they're pulling inside of the place. One time, again, Sergi, Leo's better half. he came up to visit one day, and we got in the car. We were driving around by Picatinny Arsenal. There's some back roads you can take. Lake Denmark Road is one of them. And we were out, and we got followed by trucks, unmarked government trucks. So we could tell the guys were in fatigues, and they were taking a pretty big interest into what we were doing. We came back around, and we noticed that there were other people now that were starting to come out, and they blocked off one of the gates. So, and that, you know, I'm all in favor of mayhem, but it has to be controlled. That was when I said, look, we got to get the hell out of here, man. Something's wrong. Not too long after, I read something online about Picatinny, and they said it was something about, it's called a DUM base, stands for a Deep Underground Military Base. And there really is something you can see off of Route 15. You can see where there's an actual tunnel that comes out, and you'll see the ground swell up and out. And the story that they're supposed to have done experiments and all this. Now, I'm going to school out in Jersey right now, and they were advertising on campus for guinea pigs for behavioral therapy. Yeah, they wanted guinea pigs. And so we decided, all right, we're going to leave that one alone. But we couldn't leave well enough alone. So we were in, another time, we were in Harrisburg. Never mind what we were doing, because we didn't know if the statute of limitations ran out or not yet. And I mentioned, I think some of you know, I've talked about the New World Order and the black helicopters and all that. And I mentioned how Fort Indiantown Gap has a Rex 84 base, where the story is that people are supposed to be they're going to be relocation camps. So we pulled in to go see what was going on. And I don't even think you were completely out of the car yet when the cop.
I was just like halfway.
Jumped out, and a cop pulled up. And for someone who could do damage to us, he was a nice guy. And he asked us what we were doing. So we told him, well, we were just passing through. We've seen the place a number of times. We wanted to see what was going on. I said, it stretches back to the mountains, and it's two counties long and all that.
Gave us the scenic tour?
Yeah. He was really nice to us. As soon as he left, a white Dodge Neon came out of some of the side streets on the base and followed us out of the base up onto Route 81 North and followed us for about half an hour to 45 minutes. And I looked at him and said, man, how many Fed files do you think we're going to be on this month? I'm sure there were some, and if there's any truth, too, about Picatinny and all that, okay, so we get an additional 3 months out of the deal. So, now we really had this urge for more urban exploring, and I said, man, we're going to have to start chronicling all this. So this is where all of our urban exploration things came from. So this is about the time I got blown on the bridge. Almost blown off because I was doing something silly. We were exploring some abandoned railroad tracks, and we climbed down into this deep ridge. It's the one that spans Route 80 in Warren County. As when it was built, it was the largest concrete structure in the world. So to us, that meant, ooh, playground. So we climbed down, and it was a really nasty day, just raw. And Sergey, I think you were there for that, weren't you? For that time, we were getting pictures. And this is great. We're gonna put this up, and we'll take a few hours to cover the bridge thoroughly. So the way the bridge is, you've got little arches, and you can climb through them. And as you can tell, I'm not a big guy. I climbed to the edge because I wanted to see what was over, and a gust of wind came through that actually lifted me up and almost blew me 200 feet to the rocks below. I almost lost my binoculars that day. I had a cat blowing out in the Delaware River somewhere. And as it was starting to go, there's Sergey grabbing on me because I'm starting to get blown out of the arch. And very calmly, he looked at me, so are you going to write about this? I said, no, of course. You know, there's no point in getting good and cranked up if you're not going to do something about it. You know, so more and more things were happening. Wow. So, you know, got this, and my growing disgust with Americans was getting at this time. I don't like how we've gotten away from arts and literature. We're the only country in the world that could have given the world Britney Spears and not seen the joke. You know, so I had to keep going. So I told Leo, I said, well, okay, instead of our occasional sporadic updates, let's do it, you know, every 3 months or so. Because by then it will give us enough time to compile, and if people want to send us in articles, we can put that up. And we were getting our own things of, you know, hacking-related things. My background, years ago, I was in LOS, way back when, if you've ever heard of it. And I wanted to continue the tradition. So, we've got to get technology out. So, this what? LOS stood for the Losers Only Society. This was back in 90, I was asked to join. We were the Hawks Nest BBS. Back out in Jersey. That was our little thing to do. And that was a hacking group that we had was LOS. So Leo said, okay, well, every 3 months is cool. But now came the problem with getting him to stay awake.
Okay. Yeah, basically, usually when I go to visit Gonzo to update the website, I have to leave really early from my house. The best way to do that is to not go to sleep at all. So when I get to New Jersey, I end up not being awake at all, and at some point, just, you know, like falling into a deep sleep. So we tried.
I mean, that was comatose. God.
I woke up 6 years later. It's not much of a deal.
This is true one time. We left, I picked him up at the train station. And I'm not even, by the time we were up on Route 80, he was actually slumped over. And I was scared to death that a state trooper was going to see me and pull me over thinking I killed somebody who was looking at the skulls of the body. No, those are that's where the prostitutes go.
You never gave me back my kidney, by the way. I still need to.
Yeah, it's around.
So what happened is we tried to remedy this with various legal, not all of them now, but substances.
Wait, are there any feds? I can't see with these lights on. They're getting dirt on us.
So back when the federal was legal to sell, I bought a bunch, and I decided to stay awake by taking, I think it was 4 caffeine pills. It was Vivarin, or Vivarin?
Vivarin.
I'll say Vivarin just to piss them off. So four of those, I think 2 or 3 Stacker's 2 back when they had ephedra in it. I drank 4 liters of Mountain Dew because I drank soda like I was out of my mind back then.
Cups of coffee.
not on paper. And then I just, you know, just for kicks, drank a bit of coffee and tea. And so I stayed awake during the car trip, but once I actually sat in front of the computer, I fell asleep for about 2 hours, and when I woke up, and before I fell asleep, I drank a whole, I think it was 2 cans of Red Bull. My hands were shaking, like I was making Michael J. Fox jokes, like he was next to me. And, like, I couldn't sit still, but I just passed out again. And to this day, we have no solution to the whole.
Yeah, you know, and I don't know. That day, man, he was like this, and I told him, you better not go to the bathroom because you're going to jerk yourself off.
And there's a thought.
And it was, it 2 hours later, there was slumped over. Oh, God, I got naked mine. I thought, what do you expect me? You slumped over. I thought somebody shot you from the driveway.
Well, it was Lee Harvey Oswald. Shot with the magic bullet. We have the evidence.
You know, where we do this from my house. I call it Stately Gonzo Manor.
Which it is.
You know, because I take meticulous care of my lawn. So I've got something that I call the war room, where I won't say everything that goes on, but I set it up in such a way I've got one desk this way, another one will go this way, and I've got my soldering iron and different tools, police scanners, older ones, things like this, and I just happen to have made some room, and God, when was that? I guess it was H2K, I think that was, when I got the transmitter. that this is how pre-Radios Organica came about. There are no schedules, and I don't know what frequency we're going to use until we actually get it turned on that day, get the antenna out and all that. I was literally over here in the back room, and they were giving away a transmitter. And this was when, there was some raffle, and they would read the number off your badge. And Bernie called out my number. And I went up to him, yeah, that's me. And are you serious? Is it me? I shit you not. So now we had a whole new thing to get into. And you know, I'd always been interested in radio anyway. Even at school, a couple semesters ago, I had a radio show. So, I wanted to keep going with the idea of journalism and broadcast and keeping on. So we looked at it one day and said, man, we've got a problem. We've got to do something about the antenna. Because we couldn't put it up on top of the house because for what we wanted to do, it would be obvious. And we were constantly checking the windows. We had images of guys out in a truck. Okay, I think we got them. So we had an idea of what we would do. We ended up getting a weather balloon from a catalog, and we would put the coax on it for the antenna. We'd go outside and run it up from the deck, do our thing, and we'd pull it back in. Until one day, Leo had things. Well, what's going to happen if someone on an ultralight hits it for a low-flying plane? So, and we had to go, and I've got a little blinking light now. So, on certain times, if you're in that part of Jersey, if you'll see a blinking light.
That appears out of nowhere?
Yeah, that'll be us. You'll see a light go off, it'll blink for a little while, and go back down. That's us. So, we kept going, and one of the things that we're hoping to do in the future for this is that we want to do podcasts. We're going to get out and we'll do our shows the way we always do. We want to answer emails. We have heard from people all around the world. We heard from the DOD people on two occasions. I don't know, whatever the hell they wanted. And we thought it would be good. All right, well, you can get this and, put on your iPod or whatever and do your thing. So we're shooting for that in the future. Now, in the meantime, I said, did anyone here go to our last panel? No, well, besides you, Mark. Oh, because you go to all my panels. You're a gonzo whore.
You just
made
me so well.
Well, actually, I think so because you like the checks, man. That's why.
Yeah. I just get right down to the check.
Oh, yeah. Wait, question? If I had to live that way, I would have done the same thing. It was in chronic pain. Life just wasn't fun anymore. And the problem that I think we've dealt with that now, though, is for as complex as Hunter was as an individual, he was naively romantic, but yet the littlest thing could set him off. There's such a huge gap that's left in his wake. And I'm afraid that the gonzo tradition might die out at some point. And that was part of my thing. I said, it's actually Leo was the one who gave me the name of gonzo because I was behaving so much like Hunter. Draw your own conclusions. And I thought, why not bring the gonzo approach to the hacking community? Because it hasn't been done. It's been more clinical. Hackers are guys who can't get laid and they wear black and they're sitting up all night, they're stinky,
Well, we all aspire to that.
And I said, all right, well, instead of doing that, as Hunter did, and Tom Wolfe and Norman Mailer, put yourself in the story. So since I already had the hacking background, being in LOS back in 90, I said, I'm already here. Let's keep pushing and see how far things can go. So I decided to branch out. I said, I've got the war room. Let's build something. So this is the potato cannon incident. Yes, Sergi, your favorite story, the potato cannon incident. I wanted to build a potato cannon. I had the plant, and I said, if I'm going to build this, I want to make it a howitzer. So I put a 6-foot barrel on it, and I shot it off in the side of my deck. If you're standing at my deck and you look straight ahead, you've got a line of trees, and there's the next tree. So I went outside, really rammed it in, load it up with about a can and a half of hairspray, and watch it clear the tree. And then I heard, "Bad son of a bitch!" I hit somebody's house. And the guy was out at the time. Now, I don't know if he was on the deck and maybe I scared him, you know, or it wasn't that. Maybe he was washing the car, came up and hit the door. And so right away I panicked because it started. I mean, you know, you can't sneeze without a cop coming down on you. You know, building a potato can is a felony. So I did what any good person would do. I panicked and I threw it under the deck to dispose of it later, which I did. I threw it in a river. And I went inside and I was praying to God I wouldn't see any cops. And I thought about this guy. Not that I damaged, you know, I honestly didn't feel bad because I didn't intend to do it. You know, it was something else. I had an image of this guy talking to his wife. So I'm telling you, a potato came over the trees and broke one of the lights. Now, then, you know, so, okay, well, you know, we had that, so I wanted to keep going with the building. So along came the sonic cannon idea.
Oh.
And even now, you know, if you like it, it still works.
Yeah, the only problem with it is, as we spend that in our hotel room with everything closed, doors and windows, is the one thing that does not work is the off button, where we turned it off and pulled the trigger and went deaf for about 10, 30 seconds.
What it was doing, when I made it, and, you know, I was really proud of myself because I tried other projects and they failed. I mean, these things tanked worse than I think the Working Girl TV series did. I built the cannon. Wow, this is great. And I had it, everything on its lowest setting. Now, keep in mind, this is a sonic pistol. It emits 130 decibel shockwave. You know, I mean, this thing can do some damage. So, I look at it. Now, I have a leaning towards drinking absinthe. I was out on my deck one day. And I had, I think it was 2 or 3 glasses, and I accidentally shot myself with it. Because I was sitting back in my chair, and I had my ring finger on the trigger, and I zapped myself right in the side of the head. The pain was blinding. I mean, literally, everything went white. I had problems walking, I had nausea, but then I was happy to get my bang. It worked. But then I was staggering around out there. You know, I felt like I was Gary Busey the way I was staggering around. I bumped it into the table, but wow, my God, this works. So we brought it in. We did, that was our last panel, it was about weird technology. So we had a little lull when there was a problem with the laptop. So someone asked me, you know, could you give us a demonstration? And I wanted to, but Rebel wasn't around. So, I would have zapped him if I had a chance. Nail him dead on. So instead, I aimed it at the ceiling and I shot off. And it just, it was blinding. You know, again, the pain. People's ears were hurting. And there was someone else who later told me that it actually made her physically sick when she was up all night throwing up because she was that sensitive to it.
Maybe it was pregnancy.
Yeah, maybe. So I've got about a gun. You know, I've got something dangerous. I wonder if there's a way I can improve this and make it worse.
What was the frequency of the wave form?
So,
as you can see, that
it should end. Honestly, I want to say it's an S wave, but I'm not completely sure. Oh, God.
It's variable.
It's variable, but it's extremely high pitched.
I remember that.
You know what it is? Picture Mariah Carey caught in a bear trap. It's that kind of high pitch.
No, it's more high pitched than that, actually.
No, pretty close. If you turn it down, you know, I never actually ran the signal through a scope. You know, I had some of the basics with it, you know, what the frequency was. You know, obviously I don't have it now. I had it written down on paper. But I liked it because obviously it works well. I've got people throwing up. I'm staggering around. So I'm contemplating doing it again, but at 140 decibels and see what that'll do. And this is going to come in handy because I've got a war going with my neighbors. Yeah, I'm sorry. These people are so nasty. Mr. Rogers would have taken out a restraining order against them. So, you know, these are people. They've got the dog that barks at nothing, you know.
Bonnie?
So, yeah. No, it did it to me. No, I mean, it did it to me because when I accidentally set off the trigger when, you know, it's a big barrel for the business end of it, it caught me right up here. I mean, the headache I had, oh my God, it was horrible. But then I was happy. It worked. But, you know, I made a nice balance. You know, and, you know, Leo's gotten to see some of the war going on. I'll be honest, I hate these fuckers with a passion. They're noisy, they're rude, inconsiderate people who, let's face it, need to be dealt with. So, I don't think, has anyone ever done it as a prank when you steal somebody's door? No, I'm serious. Has anyone done it when you pull the hinges out and you take the door off just as a prank? And you're hiding in the bushes? Okay, it's just me. I thought about doing that to these people because I got so fed up with them one day. Yeah, I've got to do something in retaliation. So I actually considered gluing their door shut so they'd be trapped in the house. You know, and I seriously did. I snuck out in their bushes. You know, think back to 2 years ago. It was November. We had that really nasty cold snap. I stepped on their garden hose and I soaked myself. And I was drenched. And it was, I think, 5 degrees. Yeah. Yet again, they win. But then, you know, even that's still continuing. The latest thing is making their dog bark, and, you know, and now deliberately just to get them, because when they hear the dog bark, they'll come out and tell them it's not. So what I do is now I get Ritz crackers or peanut butter, and I'll stand up my deck for about 3 or 4 of them over, and I'll peek for the rest of the afternoon. Yeah. Now, for some other future projects that we're doing, we are planning at some point an excursion out to Montauk Point. If we're not here for the next conference, why?
Preston Nichols got it.
Yeah, there will be a reason. We'll be buried under a sandbar somewhere out there. But there's a lot pointing to that area, you know, and a lot that seems like, man, you know, we have to go check this out. So that's one of the projects we're working on. The whole thing with Picatinny Arsenal is another one. I've got a lot of anti-surveillance gear and frequency cameras and all that. We're planning at some other point, we're going to make drives in the area and we're going to log everything down and see what the frequencies report. Because we've noticed that there is a lot of just general weirdness going on in that area. We don't know specifically what they do with the weapons. But years ago, they had an explosion, and it was famous for this. It blew out every window in the Lake Telemark Valley. And, you know, we're still looking into why that was. Question?
Is research into non-lethal weapons?
They're cutting in on my action. Bastards. And I'm paying for that, too, man. That's the sad part.
I think we're rich.
Yeah, but that's only because I'm cheap.
Raytheon, what's the company name? Raytheon?
Oh, Raytheon, yeah.
I heard this, actually on Friday or Thursday, that they're developing a backpack-sized, I heard this from Cessna, they're developing a backpack-sized replica of the microwave cannon that they currently have mounted in trucks, and so maybe they're working in that over there. And I think, and I'm not too positive, the XM8, was the weapon system that was going to replace the M16 that they found out, was that a PPT? I know it didn't pass. Yeah, so it was being tested, the XM8, this weapon system that was plastic, I believe, that was supposed to replace the M16 weapon system was tested out in Picatinny and Iraq, and in Iraq they found out that it melted when you held it, which kind of defeated the whole point of using it in the war. But yeah, I guess they didn't account for that when they were making a weapon that fires high bullets. Oh, and the electricity? Yeah.
Well, Well, to make an omelet, man, you know, you got to break eggs. Just burn hands, whatever it takes. You got to deal with it. And so I will, and here's another one. Was anyone here for Stephen Levy's talk? I've got a good Stephen Levy story. And this is why I have to say this. He autographed my copy of Haggis. I didn't buy it here. I bought it years ago, and I had him autograph it. He was walking along this side when he came up to the back for his signing. And I asked him, Mr. Levy, could you sign this? He said, yeah, sure. Who's it to? And I said, it's to Gonzo. And he signed it, gave me a handshake, smiled, and walked off. I looked at it, it said, to Gonzo. I was like, my God, Stephen Levy's got my name wrong? I mean, I'm nobody in this community. But, I thought I was enunciating properly when I said Gonzo. And he wrote Bonzo. And I said, wow.
You've been requested.
Stephen Levy signed my name wrong, man. Put that up on the shelf. Another thing that we really jumped on was trying to save the hotel. Just take a look around. Think of the people you've met, if not over the past of today, and yesterday, the past conferences. The talks you've had at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, people from overseas, and strangely, it's not so bad being where we are. And we said, man, we can't let this go. So I remember even back in my LOS days, we used to talk, man, someday we're going to go to a 2600 meeting. And this is when we thought we were really hot because we had a 2400 baud modem. that somebody paid $600 for, and he said that was actually a good deal because he could have gotten it for $650. Man, that we have to keep up with this. So we had LOS, we had our group, and one of the guys unfortunately went over to the NARC side. He became a Fed. And we're still waiting for that check in the mail, but he's never gotten in contact with us since. As inevitably happens, everyone goes in their separate ways. But I said, we can't let this go. This is too much like family here. We can't bail on this. There's a need for it. And look at the history we've done. We can't back out on this. Now, at the moment, I'm still hearing reports that the hotel will not be torn down. But, I don't know, does anyone know? Is that true or not? Because I'm still hearing that it's also $4 billion in a hole.
No, I heard that they're making a profit there. But I heard was that Renato was going to demolish this and make a new building for J.P. Morgan. But J.P. Morgan bought out their Stearns for $250 million. What?
Current surrounding town, they're not going to demolish it. Doesn't make money right now. Renato,
The hotel is now making money. Renato has been hit hard by the recession because J.P. Bear Stearns sold to J.P. Morgan for $250 million. The Bear Stearns investors were pissed because Bear Stearns has a building worth over $1 billion, I think, in Manhattan or something. What happens is J.P. Morgan bought Bear Stearns for the building, basically. So now they got the building, they don't need to buy Hotel Pennsylvania, this land. So Veneto has no buyer anymore. Plus, they're going to demolish Penn Station and move it somewhere else. And I don't understand how they got permission from the city to do that in the first place, because you got a subway, you got the Amtrak rails, you got New Jersey Transit, and you have
LIRR.
Yeah, Long Island Railroad. So to move all that to a different part of the city would require, let's see, it would be impossible in my view. So, like, yeah. So, Renato's crazy, but at least now, hopefully, they won't demolish it. But, you know, you can't trust an insane person to act sane. Well, actually, I know the future.
Sure, well, that's true. You know, things are a little up in the air. But as I've always wondered with them, you know, they're screwing with hackers, man. You know, hacker vengeance is the worst kind. If there's going to be a backlash. You know, no, I mean, it's going to be more than just a pork getting flooded. You know.
When are people hitting F5 over and over?
But he's not having an easy time of it.
Because to have it in Manhattan, since it's Manhattan, the pricing for the conference space is insane. So this is because of the hotel is older, the space is cheaper for them. So if the hotel gets demolished, it'll be a lot. Hope will become. It'll be a lot more expensive to host Hope, which would mean the entrance fee will need to be more expensive. We won't have as much space, and Hope is growing constantly. So, and with future Hopes, you'll need extra space. So you can't shrink it down. So if you have like a, you know, a shifted venue, you'll either need to get either charge people like at least like ShmooCon charges, which is insane prices, or basically move it out of Manhattan. Oh yeah.
But the one thing though, I think it's important for it to have here too, because of the history. You know, one thing about Americans, man, we're quick to forget our past. And you know, if it's not the latest and fastest thing, it's got to go. And I say, you know, it's a landmark, man. You know, look at all the stuff that went on here, man. Keep it. You know,
it's the hotel.
I think, you know, the vibe, you know, there's a weird vibe to the place. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of it is brought in, you know, from us. But the hotel, it has more of a homey feel to it. You know, and I think that might be why. You know, if we're going to be a hacker community, and be a community. You know, and I've noticed it a lot this time. Even in the last conference I've seen, it seems like we're getting more social with each other. Where, you know, how it used to be about 10 years ago, everyone beating their chest because they can do this and do this. And you say, yeah, well, how do you do it? And no one would tell you. We're starting to find out now. You know, I'm seeing more people talking. There's more going on. And, you know, it's weird because, you know, I'm coming clean on this. I'm a right-winger.
Ooh. That's the best thing about reformand.
Yeah.
Our politics are really different.
Yeah.
Yet, you know, we can still stick together.
Because, you know, it's politics is just an opinion. And given how fed up I am with both candidates, it's just a matter of who's going to buy you dinner after the election, given what's going to happen to you. You know, somebody, it's true. You know, either way, you know, you're going to get screwed either way. Republicans, Democrats are both bad. You know, it's true. You know, they're both bad. They've let us down, you know, exponentially. You know, there's so much potential that both of them have, and none of them are doing it. Question.
Vote for me.
The thing that I suggested that we do was that we take up a fundraiser, we send everyone in Congress a copy of the Federalist Papers and a bottle of Viagra and let them figure it out. Or if not, we just go there and we just beat hell out of them.
I think we're going to have to
but then how do you get into the, you know, how do you get into the club? You know, it's so closed off. They don't want to hear anyone else with a dissenting opinion.
Yeah, vote for what?
I vote every election.
That's a horrible idea. That worked perfectly, but it's a bad idea. He skinned a leprechaun. Come from UPS.
Yeah, right.
If you want them overnight, we can arrange that. Tuesday. I should record it. Or having the time to probably before the summer ends, definitely. That's actually I can definitely hope that will happen.
Yeah, or at least that's what we're hoping for. Maybe later in the year, we can't really say for sure. But it is in the works. The show is just people will write in, asking questions about.
But we can't answer.
Yeah, well, some of them. Why are you so bitter? Well, why not? Play some music and a couple of rants here, stuff like that. Orange is awkward.
Yes.
A little bit technical. I'm getting more and more into the art scene now, so, you know, so I talk more about the art and literature and all that.
Oh, some local stuff?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because I don't know who actually listens to the show, you know, because, you know, we write what we have when we can, we don't really get to hear from anyone. So we don't know where they're listening to us, you know, or if they're just passing through, you know, so I'll do a lot of local stuff and, you know, try and keep something everybody can get a little something out.
Thank you.